From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and verse 22. Have faith in God. Faith is the foot of the soul by which it can march along the road of the commandments. Love can make the feet move more swiftly, but faith is the foot which carries the soul. Faith is the oil enabling the wheels of holy devotion and of earnest piety to move well. And without faith, the wheels are taken from the chariot and we drag heavily. With faith I can do all things. Without faith I shall have neither the inclination nor the power to do anything in the service of God. If you would find the men who serve God the best, you must look for the men of the most faith. Little faith will save a man, but little faith cannot do great things for God. Poor little faith could not have fought Apollyon. It needed Christian to do that. Poor little faith could not have slain giant despair. It required great hearts armed to knock that monster down. Little faith will go to heaven, most certainly, but it often has to hide itself in a nutshell, and it frequently loses all but its jewels. Little faith says, "It is a rough road, beset with sharp thorns and full of dangers. I am afraid to go." But great faith remembers the promise, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And so she boldly ventures. Little faith stands desponding, mingling her tears with the flood. But great faith sings, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee." And she fords the stream at once. Would you be comfortable and happy? Would you enjoy religion? Would you have the religion of cheerfulness and not that of gloom? Then have faith in God. If you love darkness and are satisfied to dwell in gloom and misery, then be content with little faith. But if you love the sunshine and would sing songs of rejoicing, covet earnestly this best gift, great faith.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. Savior divine,
Savior divine, thou hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. Grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me.
A living fire.
When ends life's transient dream, when death's cold silent stream shall o'er me roll, Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Dr. Cairns continues this series in Romans chapter 8, he is dealing with verse 2, where the Apostle Paul wrote, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Dr. Cairns began by defining the terms which Paul employs in the text. What did the Apostle mean by the law of the Spirit of life and the law of sin and death? As Dr. Cairns has explained, the law of the Spirit of life is simply the gospel, while the law of sin and death is the Mosaic law. In the remainder of the message, he is setting forth the teaching of the text. The law was never intended to be a means of salvation. All it could do was to show men their sin and condemn them to eternal death for it. Only a sinless man could both keep the law and bear its penalty on the behalf of guilty sinners. And that man was the Lord Jesus Christ, who, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, freed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called, Freed Forever from the Curse of the Law.
I want you to notice this. The law pronounces every fallen man guilty and places him under sentence of death. You take this book of Romans. That's what Paul is at pains to expound and to impress upon the heart. Before Paul ever gets, having just stated what his whole thesis is in chapter 1, before he ever gets to deal with the glories of the person and work of Christ, he brings men down into a dark, dark valley of human depravity. Chapter 1 of Romans is so dark that in all of literature, inspired or secular, there is no more forceful manifestation of the dark wickedness of the human heart. Romans chapter 1, he goes through the world, mostly the Gentile world, and he shows the nations in their wickedness. And by the way, when you read Romans chapter 1, the latter half of the chapter, you're reading a social commentary on America 2008. You're reading a social commentary on Europe 2008. God looked at the ancient world. He described its wickedness. I make no excuse for them and their wickedness. There they were. They were uneducated for the most part. Their religion was idolatry. It was paganism. It was heathenism. And you could see those people sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into their wickedness. Now we come into our countries in this day and age. Educated, degrees coming out of their ears. The country's going to hell by these degrees, because they're using what they think is learning as a way of rationalizing, and with the wickedest sophistry, creating a reason for them to live in sin and deny God. That's where we are today. God looked at the Gentile world and he says, guilty. Ah, but people say, Lord, they didn't have the Bible. Guilty. But Lord, they haven't heard your name. Guilty. It's not the lack of the Bible. It's not the lack of the hearing of the gospel. It's not the lack of the particular message of grace that makes them sinners. It's their breach of God's law that makes them sinners. And he says the whole Gentile world is guilty. We hear people who think they're being loving Christians, preachers of love. And in fact, they're heretical deniers of truth. I think of the famous pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. Oh, sure, he hopes. He believes, as did Billy Graham say he believed, that there are people who'll be in heaven who never heard the name of Christ, never repented under the gospel, and never knew the Savior. Because the whole thing is, how could God condemn these people who have never heard? Let me answer that. We are commanded to take the gospel to every creature. We are commanded to envelop the world and encompass the world with the gospel. And that is our duty as Christians, to be part of that worldwide evangelization effort. But it is not the lack of the gospel that makes men guilty. It is their breach of the law of God written on every heart and written down by Moses in the Decalogue. Then God moved on from the Gentiles and he came to the Jews. They were a very different people. We have the scriptures. We are the sons of Abraham. We are the children of the covenant. We have had the sacramental sign of that covenant. We bear it in our bodies. We learn the scriptures. We read the scriptures. We are not as these Gentiles. You read Romans chapter 2. And he says to the Jews, guilty. Guilty. And then Romans chapter 3, he brings it all together. In verse 19, he says, God hath concluded the whole world guilty before God. That's what the law does. That's the curse of the law. There are really two parts to the curse of the law. One is conviction, the pronouncing guilty, and the other is condemnation, the imposition of the sentence of death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. The law pronounces every fallen man guilty, sentences him to death. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved, you may have been brought up to have the most positive self-image. You may have been taught that it's so psychologically healthy to learn to look at yourself in such glowing and positive terms. I want you to stop and think. Out of Christ, this is how God described you. I'm sure you've heard, and I'm not going into the myth, the legend. You've heard the sword of Damocles. I talk tonight of a greater sword. Sword of divine vengeance, justice, the wrath of God. Suspended over the head of every sinner. The law of God says guilty. Sentenced to death. You see, sinners, they may be sitting in $5 million homes, palatial residences. They're sitting in a death cell. They may be eating, drinking, being merry, and dancing their way. But they're in a death cell. That's what the law does. Furthermore, the law does not provide for clemency. So that sinners have no power, no ability, and no chance to free themselves from the curse of the law. It's an amazing thing that lawbreakers, I'm talking about the breakers of God's law, in their pride, assume that there's some way that they can make it right. There's some way they can do something that God's going to be pleased with them. They can do something, and somehow or other, all that I have said about the conviction and the condemnation of the law will all just go away. That's the pride of man. But the truth is, lawbreakers cannot do anything to satisfy God's law. And furthermore, the law of God, I want you to read it carefully. The law of God says, thou shalt not. And if you break it, it says, death. No clemency. No mercy. Now, understand what I'm saying. In the law and its enactment, no clemency, no mercy. The only thing the law of God can do is impose the sentence. And that's why Paul argued so forcefully that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you're under sentence of death of the law, and you say, well, from this point on, I'm going to try and keep that commandment and that commandment. Let me just stop there for a moment. Even your keeping of those commandments is so riddled with wickedness, pride, selfishness, godlessness, and sin that it's only adding to your condemnation. But could you keep it? If from this point on you could say, the law's condemned me, but I'm going to keep it from this point, and you did it, it wouldn't change what's past. You can't be justified by the works of the law. But here's the good news of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. The good news brought by the authority of the Holy Spirit and applied by grace, by that same Spirit to the heart. Here it is. Christ has once and for all freed all his people from the curse of the law. How did he do it? By redeeming them. Romans 3:24. We usually read Romans 3:23 and forget that there's anything that follows it. All have sinned. All come short of the glory of God. That's true. But read on. And verse 24 tells you something very, very important. That we are justified, being justified freely. Notice that word. Freely. By his grace. Now those two words, the word freely and by his grace, really are almost synonymous, except that grace tells you how you can receive it freely. We are justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We were singing tonight, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's a glorious, glorious truth. Galatians 3:13. That's Paul's text there. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By being made a curse for us. You see, here we get into the work of Christ. This is why I say in our text, it's not the regenerating work of the Spirit that frees you from condemnation. It is the redemptive work of Christ that frees you. It's his work. In his life, he fulfilled the law and its precept. In his death, he paid the penalty of the law and its sentence. He has provided a perfect satisfaction of the law of God in both precept and penalty. He has provided thereby a perfect righteousness. At last, a man has come on the earth who has satisfied God's law. For the first and only time in the history of the world, a man has fully, absolutely, completely satisfied God's law. A man has established a human righteousness. Oh, it's called the righteousness of God because it's the righteousness God has provided for us in Christ. But it was the man, Christ Jesus, who was made under law. It was the man, Christ Jesus, who fulfilled the law. It was as a man that he established this righteousness. There's a man in the glory tonight because a man earned the way there. That's the glory of the gospel. It's the work of Christ that led him all the way to the cross. There, soaked in his own blood, to render satisfaction to the justice of God and God's law, to deal with sin, to bear it away, to establish the ground whereby God could and would accept not only Christ the man, but his people in him. The glorious, glorious gospel. And that redemption gives you freedom. The whole idea of redemption is freedom. It has in it the idea of the price, has the suffering of Christ, the blood of Christ. That's his work. But redemption means deliverance, means freedom. This is what Paul's talking about in Romans 8, verse 2. The gospel tells you Christ has freed us from the curse of the law. Understand that? This is what it means to be saved. I get so, and I understand if somebody's understanding cannot go beyond saying, I have God's forgiveness. If they can understand that, that's a wonderful thing. But if they can't get beyond that, then let them rejoice in it. But if you can follow this a little further in Scripture, it brings such a fullness of joy and assurance to your heart. Freed from the curse of the law. You see what that means? God no longer pronounces a believer guilty.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.